open our chapel service this morning by responsively reading Psalm 80, which you have before you in the bulletin for today. Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. The text for our devotion this morning is the book of Romans, chapter 15. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And these are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, in the book The Hammer of God, there's an episode that gives us the contents of a lengthy discussion between a man who is a modernist, that is a theological liberal, and a pastor who confesses the authority of the Bible for the foundation of the teaching of the Christian church. The modernist, as he attempts to defend actions that the Bible says are immoral and sinful, this man claims that the literal words of the Bible should not be used to keep us from following our hidden understanding, a deeper meaning, a modern approach that is not tied to those old words of a different time. And he concludes by stating that it's his conscience, not the words of the Bible, that is his authority. It is what he feels is right. The pastor who discusses this with the modernist now points out the obvious problem with that way of thinking. He tells him, you know, if that's true, then you can never be sure how you stand with God. You can never be sure of God's will. You can't trust any of his promises or what God's intentions toward you are or anyone else if that will and promise of God are detached from the written word. That word is paramount. Many preachers today give supposed spiritual insights that they claim they've received in dreams or detached voices or whatever else they might designate as a communication from God. Here's how one contemporary Christian speaker put it. In my attempts to distinguish my desires from an authentic word from God, I find that what God reveals to me in my spirit is deeper than what I feel. In other words, when I can put aside my feelings for a moment, what I still consistently sense as the leading of the Holy Spirit, I assume to be a clearer word from God. It's interesting to note, first of all, just as an aside, that in this little paragraph, this person actually uses the first person singular pronouns I or my 12 times, which is not particularly helpful if you're going to be explaining divine authority to somebody. But her conclusion is even less compelling. She says, I assume this, and by that she means what she senses as the leading of the Spirit, to be a clearer word from God. The question then is, for those who are listening to her, are you willing to base your eternal welfare on that assumption? Does that provide you security and confidence? You know, insecurity comes from an unsure, unstable, man-made word, a feeling, something grounded in ourselves, in the ideas of our ever-changing society. But here in Romans, Paul directs us away from all of that, away from ourselves, away from the fluctuating standards of society. What he says is, whatever was written before, these things were written for our learning. And Paul has in mind here the scriptures that he has known, the Old Testament writings. It's of these, then, that he says that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Notice what it is that provides the patience and comfort. It is the scriptures, that written word of God, those foundational documents that God inspired holy men to write in the human languages of Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. That's a sure word, one that is independent of our own feelings or dreams or opinions. It gives us what God wants to reveal to us and not what we hope to find or sense on our own. Patience and comfort are what we receive from Scripture, God's word for us, and they are what we need. Patience and comfort are for those times of struggle when we are likely to become impatient with ourselves, with the world, with our family, with God, and distressed by what we see happening in us, to us, and all around us. Martin Luther noted years ago, the real mission of the scriptures is to comfort the suffering, distressed, and dying. The Bible does not remove adversity, suffering, and death. No, it simply reveals the Holy Cross. Paul calls it the word of the cross. And therefore, patience is necessary. In the midst of suffering, the Bible consoles and strengthens that our patience may not fail but press on to victory under the strong comfort of God's solacing assurance that he is present to direct. The soul bears up with courage and joy beneath its sufferings. It is necessary for the soul to have something to which it may cleave in patience, upon which it can rest. And that something is God's word. Cling to, cleave to, grasp that word of God. Then what result do patience and comfort have? Hope. Our hope is in the actions God has taken for us. He came to this world of despair to bring hope. He left a trail of promises written for us from Genesis to Malachi, Holy Scripture, a trail that leads to a little town called Bethlehem, a trail that leads to a manger in which lies Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God in human flesh. This word of God was written for our learning, written down in human language, written so that we, through patience and comfort of God's holy communication to us, might have hope. You need not rely on someone's assumption that he's received the possibility of a communication from God. You need not rely on some inner feeling of what God might be revealing to you. No, you have God's word. Listen to it, believe it, for it is for you. The word proclaims, God's Son is for you. God's Son took on all that brings hopelessness. No way out of sin, no way out of death, no way out of the mess I've made with my life. And he broke through all that. He paid what you cannot. He defeated that which causes us to despair. Death and sin cannot harm you through faith in this Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Through him, through his promises mercifully showered on us, despair is washed away, and we live in that hope, that certain trust that our future is secured by God himself. Now I will cling forever to Christ, my Savior true. My Lord will leave me never, whate'er he passes through. He rends death's iron chain. He breaks through sin and pain. He shatters hell's dark thrall. I follow him through all. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son, you have revealed to us that heaven and earth shall pass away, that our bodies shall rise again, and that we all shall appear before the judgment seat. We beseech you to keep us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Establish us in the true faith, graciously defend us from sin, and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, but that we may ever watch and pray, and trusting fully in your grace, await with joy the glorious coming of your Son, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.